this morning.
He has my attention this morning. Who was hearing his voice this morning? Look at that. Just look around the room, and if your hand's not up, you probably were, honestly. And that's a little bit about what I want to talk about. You know, he shifted the perspective of how I have to approach this. And I want to honor him in doing so, and so be patient with me. I have a lot of notes, and then he just, you know, just like everybody else, it was coming in the service. So I'm going to work through all of that. My catchy phrase was, there's a pandemic in the church. I don't think I needed to get your attention, but I do believe that there has been a bit of a pandemic in the church. And I believe that pandemic is a lack of like a burning desire to hear from the Lord yourself. Or there's people. Look at this objectively. There's a big problem body-wide, ecclesia-wide, that's what I'm pointing out. And if you feel that I'm saying things that hurt, just weigh it. Just weigh it. But I don't think this necessarily fits this house. I just think we need to be aware of how to handle it. And so, you know, through COVID and through all of the things, there was a major abundance of prophetic words. Like everybody who had a camera and an internet connection had a prophetic word. And what ended up happening was there was a lot of conflicting prophetic words. And that's problematic when we're getting tons and tons and tons of them, because now it's putting a lot of weight on us to discern what spirit these things are coming from. You know, maybe they all heard from God, but maybe their flesh got in the way in the interpretation. There's a million different things, but the point is that we have to hear from God ourselves. We have to hear his voice. And it's kind of what I want to talk about today. And I think it's really amusing in like the most humble way possible that he chooses to do things the way he does, where it's just like a loudspeaker from heaven talking to everybody in the service. And we're talking about God talking to us. So... you know, we could debate on kind of what came first, the chicken and the egg on this. Like, did everybody get these prophetic words, or was there a need? In business, supply drives demand, or demand drives supply, sorry. And so in this case, I do believe that there is a lot of people who really wanted to know what was happening in the world, and they weren't sure how to find this out, and so then insert all these prophetic voices, these people who are hearing from God. And so I think really it was the lack of hearing God's voice body-wide that was driving the need for all the prophetic words. And what I hope is that... I can shed some light on some of that later, because last week God gave me a vision of a tuning fork, and I did a study kind of, but it put me down like a really crazy like wave of frequencies and sounds and how all this works. And so I want to present some of that to you to challenge your paradigms and what you've known to be true. And I don't have all the answers. I'm still really just tipping in the iceberg or getting the tip of the iceberg. But I want to show you some of the things I found and challenge your thoughts about how God communicates and some of the what you're going to see in some of this today is potentially going to change the way you view certain scriptures. But this is real world stuff that exists, and if God's creator of all, we can't deny that he operates in the way that he created. So I called it slide one, but I think you probably have a million slides. Okay. So this is a video, and we're going to let it play for a minute. And basically what it is hertz is a measurement for sound, essentially. And so I want you to see what happens at different hertz. As we go higher in hertz, these shapes become more complex. And so I just want you to see, for a second, science. If you just go back, click on the actual picture, it should be a video. Here's where technology doesn't fail me. Come on, Jesus. You should be able to just to click on the picture. Nope. Okay, come out of PowerPoint mode. It'll play on PowerPoint, but come out of PowerPoint mode, and I didn't rehearse this, but it'll work, and you'll see what I'm talking about. You'll be like, wow, that's amazing. Here we go. So this is something that somebody way smarter than any of us designed to kind of demonstrate what frequencies do, how to measure hertz, or what hertz do. And so anyways, it's sand and a metal plate and a resonant speaker. You don't really need sound, Nick. It's okay. It's just background noise. But you could skip ahead a little bit. Really, I want you just to get the point. Of course, it's YouTube. They show you so much stuff you don't want to see. But this explains a bit, so read. That's what I said, more or less. So that speaker's producing sound at half the hertz are cut off, but at a lower hertz number. Judging by the responses, I'm gonna let you watch the whole 3 minutes so you can see all of them. Can you just grab the image and slide it to the right? You don't have to just slide the image. Nope. Grab the box and just slide it over. Or don't. Don't worry about it. I don't have them memorized, so. The guy back there could read it, but. Yeah, it's going higher and higher and higher. So the higher it gets, the more complex these images get. And now keep in mind, this is just one measurement. It's the sound of this many cycles per second. So let's say this is 3,129, 3,173 hertz, so cycles per second. And they're just turning it up. You guys kind of get the idea? So when we talk, we're talking in a frequency. Our voice has hertz. It's way lower than anything that happens here. but we have hurts in our voice. And so Proverbs 18:21 kind of starts to take on a new meaning when it says, words are so powerful that they will kill and or give life. The words have power, but so does the frequency. Genesis, you can bring up the PowerPoint again. Sorry, I'm making your guys' job super hard today. Basically two slides down from here would be Genesis 1:1-3, and says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless and desolate emptiness, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. When God speaks, life bursts forth. You know, when I read that, I always just thought that that word, let there be light, the words created it. But because of things like what we just watched, that was literally noise creating images. And so if God speaks, the sound can create. It's not just the words, it's the sound. So if you don't mind going to the next video, go to the next slide. And frankly, I probably won't play this one. Nope, go back. Yeah, there should be another one in between all that. There you go. Has anybody heard of this study before? Yeah. Okay, not as many people as I had hoped, so maybe I should play it, but I'm just going to explain it to you. It's been done. This guy specifically, who's nobody, who just heard that this was a reality, did it thousands of times or something crazy. I mean, a lot of times. For 90 days, he cooked rice and water and rice. That's it. Put it in airtight containers, and he wrote signs over them so that he knew what to speak over that rice. One was ignore, one was hate, and one was love. And so for 90 days, for a few minutes a day, every day, he would say, I hate you. You're a piece of crap. You disgust me. You're vile. And in 90 days, that rice was moldy, sour, rotten, and disgusting. And over the one that he said, I love, or had love, he said, I love it. I love you. You're beautiful. Everything that you could possibly imagine, the best love statements ever. And it didn't mold at all. In fact, after 90 days, he said he would even eat it. And then the one that he ignored, I'm telling you. Here's the video. But we don't have sound. So I'll just narrate for you. So anyway, so the one he ignored actually had less of an impact. It had less of a negative effect than the one he spoke hate over. Now, see, and there he is talking. And so anyways, at 90 days, you're about to see the results. And he said he's done this over and over and over. And it's the same results every time. What I want to propose to you is it's equally about the vibrations and the frequencies coming out of your mouth than it is the words. And this is all my theory. This is all theory, and it's just designed to instigate thought because this is how God is presenting this to me, and I'm trying to share it. So when we speak death over something, it really has a negative effect. That rice doesn't have the capability to put up calluses or to protect itself. It can't clean itself off at the end of the day and make it look pretty for the next day. It can't do that. So when we're speaking negative things and death to people, they're piling on defense mechanisms and protecting themselves over and over again. And rice can't do that. So we can literally see something that is sort of inanimate object. I mean, it's organic and it, you know, whatever, but it can't protect itself or do anything to clean itself off, and so we can actually see the effects of our words. So the scripture to kind of bring this home is a non-standard one. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to paraphrase it, but it's Galatians 1, 11, all the way to verse 2, 5, essentially. And it's Paul justifying his ministry. And there's a few key phrases in there that are really important. He said, my ministry didn't come from man. It came from God and the revelation of Jesus. He didn't hear it from anybody else. So I believe that that gave him conviction and the determination to carry out what he knew to be true, because it wasn't tainted by other people's opinion or their digestion of whatever God was saying. He had resolve. The next thing that he did is he disappeared. He went alone, and he basically spent time with the Lord, and the Lord spent time with him back, and he became very familiar with who God was and what this revelation was. He developed the revelation more by protecting it. And then for a short time, he went back and he met with Peter, and he saw James, and that was it. And then he went to Syria, and he preached the gospel. And then after some time, he had another revelation. The Lord said, go and validate what I've been teaching you with the apostles. And so he went back, and he said, this time I wanted to make sure that all my ministry wasn't in vain and that I wasn't preaching a bad gospel. He had already been preaching. But now it was time to go, and maybe we could get into a whole bunch. Maybe it was humility that struck him. It doesn't matter. But the point is, what I want you to take is, God gave me a revelation, so I'm going, and I'm going to obey. Every time God spoke, he responded. But then it says, I met in private because I knew that people had been put in the church to distort and steal the freedom that we were given through Jesus. So we kept it a secret in terms of like, hey, I just got this revelation, or we're talking, we're bouncing things off of each other. We're not going to open our ears to somebody that says this isn't true. We're going to validate it, and then we're going to preach it too. It's all about protection. I think if there was one thing wrong with anything that some of these prophets did was release every word that they heard. They didn't protect some of these. That's a side note. That one was for free. It's not in my notes. So I really use that as a picture of kind of what's important. We have to hear from God ourselves. We have to tune into his frequency. You know, we have to protect what he says to us. And we have to develop it. And when the time's right, we can call a friend and make sure we're hearing the right thing. You know, but a lot of times when we're just being told and told and told and told, one, it might not sink in. Two, it's just, like I said, if God says, let there be light, and there's light, if he talks to your life and he says, light in you now, you're going to shine. So, last week, we're praying in the pre-service prayer room. I just see this giant tuning fork in the spirit go. And I heard him say, tune into my frequency. I'm never out of tune. I am the tuning fork. So I did a little Google search, and I said, tuning fork, Wikipedia, sure. And what I found was, okay, so everybody knows a tuning fork, maybe. But anyways, it has a stem and it has two arms. And when you smack it, they vibrate. And what happens is it emits a signal. There's a bunch of different tuning forks. And this is where I have to be careful, because I really nerded out on this stuff. And I don't want to go like into the abyss of the different things that I learned. But if you just use a tuning fork and I hit it on this table, you guys in the back may not even be able to hear it. Okay? But that stem, if you put it on the table, it becomes louder. If you put it on an instrument, you can hear it through the instrument. But what's interesting and what I found really fascinating is where the Lord started to speak to me is if you put it on your teeth, you can hear it in your whole head. What I believe he was showing me in that is it's a prophetic picture of God's word in us, coming out of us. He can speak to us through his word as we speak it out. And I find that interesting too, because today when we were praying in the pre-service prayer room, I literally heard the Lord say, everything you're praying to me, I'm praying back over you. This is how he works. That's why when we know his heart and we know his character and we know, and even if we only know this much, because he's beyond knowing, there's fruit in that. So then the other thing you can do, and this is, they do this in hearing tests, hit it and put it on the bone behind the ear. You know what that does? It passes the outer ear and it goes straight to the inner ear. So for me, I have really bad ringing in my ears. But if I put this tuning fork to my ear, I can hear it loud and clear because it bypasses the actual sounds that are, you know, on the outer ear, all that external noise. And so all those external voices that are giving God's word is kind of like that. You know, you're getting a lot of, I want to be careful how I say that. You're just getting a lot of external input. It can't really sink in. But when God touches you right here and speaks to your internal ear, you're going to hear it. You're going to hear it. Your flesh, let's just consider that external ear a bit of your flesh. Your flesh can't get in the way and say, well, I don't like that person, so I'm not going to hear what they're going to say, or they've been wrong before, so it's not valid, or whatever, you know. Or maybe they are wrong, but God wants to never be wrong, and he wants to be right in that sweet spot where you're always going to hear him. That's his desire. And so as I was worshiping, he reminded me, or just really pointed something out that it's a bit of a testimony, but it's a bit, here's the deal. Sometimes all we need to do is be heard or validated. And if all we're doing is listening and being spoken to, we're not able to receive what God has for us. A lot of people who mean well just say things like, suck it up, get over it, it's in the past, move on. And all you need to do is be validated. And if you just stopped going and asking for counsel, God could say, you know what, I know that you're hurting, but I love you. I know that what they did was wrong, and I'm sorry. Some people don't have the capability to do that, and they're not wrong in what they're saying. It's just not from the heart of God necessarily. And so he was showing me this, and I've seen it in my life in the past, but I want to tell you something that's really blowing my mind about what I saw this week. I have been suffering with back pain for about 10 years-ish. I've been to doctors, I've been to physical therapy, I've done all the things. And they never knew what was causing my back to hurt. And I would say, hey, maybe I should get an MRI. Like, just rubbing this spot on my back or doing this or doing that isn't getting rid of the problem. I want to know what's causing this problem. Oh, Scott, it's just part of your job. The job puts a lot of strain. You're getting older. Just justifying. Well, I went to the doctor last week because I'm having to do all my stuff to get out of the Army. And this lady looks at my records, and she's going over all the stuff, and, you know, it's all head to toe, and she tells me something I never knew about myself. Well, Mr. Shelton, I saw you had a fractured spine around 2012. It had to happen before 2012, sir, because we can see the fracture, but it was healed, you know, like a broken bone heals. You can see the crack. We can see the crack in it right here. My initial response was, I'm angry. I have been through a lot with my back and all of these things. And really deep down, all I wanted to do was be explained to why I hurt so bad. You can put this on emotional hurt too. This is just my story and physical hurt, but any kind of hurt. And, you know, I shared everything with my wife, and I shared with how I was feeling a little bit angry. And I told the doctor right there in the room, I said, I'm having a really hard time not being bitter about this. Because my back pain had consequences. Oh, you're this, and you're weak. You know, ridicule. It's just the line of work. I had a fractured spine. So anyways, when she told me that, I was like, in a way, I feel kind of good because I just did it. I even texted my buddy. I was like, well, either I'm the weakest person on the earth or I'm pretty tough because I just did 12 years as an operator with a back that had been broken. I'll go with option two. It makes me feel better. So let me tell you, the point of this story is my back hasn't hurt since they told me that it was broken in 2012. It doesn't mean that it wasn't broken. And I don't really know how this works. But I guess the truth sets you free. I was in bondage confusion. Now, I know that doesn't quite fit in the whole thing of like hearing God for yourself because a doctor told me that. But you can take that picture. It's all parallel pictures. It's types and shadows. And so I'm just telling you today that I want to tell you I'm sorry if you're carrying something for years that has just really hurt you. Like Michael said, bitterness, and I think we said something about bitterness last week or unforgiveness last week too. I'm sorry you went through what you went through. I'm sorry if it's residual to what you went through. It wasn't right. It's not okay. And you have a right to process your feelings and emotions. It's okay. The world wants to tell you to buckle up, boot your bootstraps, and get tough with it. You know, I hurt Hillary really bad in our marriage, and it wasn't until somebody said, I understand, that she was able to feel some freedom in that. She just wanted to be heard. God wants to listen, and He wants to speak. This isn't what I prepared at all. Except for the whole speaking part, but, you know, life has a funny way of affecting us, and it causes some pains, causes some hurts. Sin is ugly, and we all fall short of the glory of God, which means we're all sinners. But it doesn't stop there. There's hope. And as we learn God's heart, I believe that it brings holiness to better understand who He is. We will become holy as He is holy as we understand and know Him. I don't know, you know, if there's anybody in here that doesn't believe in Jesus, or if you haven't walked with Him the way you want to. But regardless of your status, if you're going to give yourself a status, I don't believe that He's ever quiet in your life. Because I can see when I was an unbeliever, so many times that He actually spoke to me. Or that I believed in Him, but I didn't think He was for me. And so I didn't really spend any time with him. He's literally saved my life in combat. So he obviously speaks, like, I know what I heard. And that might be the only time I ever heard from him, but he speaks. And so, you know, what I think happens, and this is something he's ministering to me on right now, is we go through life, and in how we operate in our heart and in our flesh isn't a representative of what he's saying to us. I believe we can still hear from him even if we don't recognize his voice, and we respond, and our flesh gets in the way, and it becomes sin. It's what's in our heart that's sin, not necessarily all the actions. Okay? I know I'm making a bold statement here, but the Bible says don't get drunk. It doesn't say don't have a drink. Jesus had wine. He supplied wine to a wedding. I'm on some really icy ground, really thin ice here. But you can have sinned on that first sip. Is everybody with me? I'm not saying go have 10, because that's drunkenness. But what's in your heart can be instantaneous sin. Whereas, you know, it goes into talks that don't lead people to stumble. You need to know your environment and who you're with. And let's just say it's food. Let's take something less risky. Food. Overeating. One bite could be sin, depending on what's in your heart, because you have set out to. Does this make sense? Is this fair? Is everybody with me? Money. Money. What we do with money, how we feel about money. Money's not bad. It's the root of evil, depending on what's in your heart. They were speaking to people who had some bad stuff in their heart, saying, this is the root of all evil. And you can see it. People sway whenever money starts getting involved, and they go straight off the rails. But God wants to bless his children with finances. We're not called to be impoverished. What king of a kingdom is poor? We don't serve a poor God. So why would he give us poverty? But if in our hearts we make it all about money, then we've sinned. And we can be led astray for that. So I just kind of want to like encourage you guys. What I believe is this. You've always heard from God. You have never stopped hearing from God. And I just want to give you permission to recognize his voice this morning when he speaks. To respond to his voice when he speaks. I believe that some of you may have suffered consequences for hearing his voice, not recognizing, responding poorly, sinning, hurting someone else, and having consequences for it. And you could be being told, you're not hearing from God, because they're seeing you from the old Adam and not redeemed. There's consequences to our actions, and we have to walk out in confidence that we are hearing from God, not pride, not boastfulness, but we have to have a resolve that this is God's voice, and I have to follow it. I mean, it says that even your mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters will be upset with you if you're doing what God says to do. But I believe that if you continue to run the race of listening and obeying, that you will become trustworthy to the person that you were untrusting to. God trusts you, even if you don't trust yourself. Can you go to the next slide? I want you guys to see. Could keep going to the picture. So this is what happens when these sounds hit water. It's it's a study between a 440 hertz and a 432 hertz. There's this whole thing on it that I'm not getting into, but they were trying to show the difference in the resonances of the different things in water. This simple tone that we can hear with our own ears creates something this spectacular in a cup of water. So, when God says, let there be light, I don't imagine that it was just this thing that kind of happened, like a drawing on a page. I believe more like I heard a creationist explain that if the God of the universe speaks, let there be light, and there was light, I believe there must have been a really big bang associated with it. How could it not? But then this stuff starts challenging me to say, well, what if the voice of God is a really big bang? And our paradigm for thinking what speech sounds like is just wrong. And boom, there's light. I don't know. If a sound can make, I mean, if you really look at that, there's fabric in there. And that's water. That's interwoven. If you really look at that, it's very complex. I know I'm all over the place, but I know you guys are okay. So I feel like a part of the encouragement is to, I never gave my caveat, which is really late for this, but prophetic words aren't bad. And I'm not condemning hearing other people give prophetic. That's not what this was whatsoever. And so if that's what you were hearing, I'm sorry. I wanted to front load that caveat. But what this is about is breaking open the sacred cow of just misunderstanding potentially and kind of bringing in some science to it. And saying, maybe there's more. And maybe we need to look into this a little bit deeper. It kind of puts more responsibility on us. What if my humming can heal somebody? What if the frequency that this carries could kill me? Everything has a frequency. If you notice in one of those videos, Nikola Tesla, who worked largely in power and stuff like that, said if we could understand frequency, we would understand the universe. Is everybody good? Yeah, I'm good. I'm so good. So the big takeaway, and we're fortunate. Here's really where it weighs in. We have a house of people who hear God's voice, but there's a world who doesn't. There's a world who doesn't. And I'm not asking you to walk out of these doors and go get prophetic voices. I'm asking you to go and teach people that God is speaking to them. I'm asking you to challenge any and every truth that you've known to be because someone else told you and ask God what he thinks about it. Because just like Paul said, we kept this meeting a secret because someone, a group of people, want to come in and steal the freedom that we have. The freedom that we have available to us is stealable if we don't protect it. And Think about all the sounds in the universe. And don't assume that man is inherently good and that every sound that you have at your fingertips is good. There's a lot of ministry or medical stuff out there about healing, the sounds of healing, like healing frequencies and things, but I want to warn you, be careful, because I could counterfeit a sound, because you can't prove it. You can't prove what X frequency, X hertz is. So if you get into looking into any of this, I'm going to warn you that it's going to seem really new age. Everything out there is new age about this stuff. That's not what this is. That's not what this is. Use your discernment if you go down that rabbit hole, because there's a lot of dangerous stuff out there. That's why I wanted to keep it very plain and simple. Yeah. So, Father, we just thank you. And we love you. We thank you that you're releasing your heart to us. That you're expecting so much more from us than we're producing sometimes. Father, give us the grace and discernment to know when it's okay to listen to other voices and when it's best to turn them off. Teach us if we don't know your voice, and open our aperture to understanding that when it's not familiar, to be patient and listen more closely. To not dismiss it because it doesn't look normal. We trust that you're doing a new thing. We trust that you didn't stop creating when the New Testament ended, and that you're still creating and making and doing today. Lord, we just want to honor you in everything we do. We love you, and we praise your mighty name. And I just release blessings and hope and joy and peace and understanding over you this morning. And I bind confusion, waywardness, deception of like hearing, like just being confused, that like all of that go. In Jesus' name.